Okay. It's 7 o'clock now. And it's time to start the meeting right here.
Make motion to the meeting to order.
Thank you, Linda.
I second it.
Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. Commissioner Beville and Commissioner Campbell. All right, first thing on the agenda is the Pledge of Allegiance, so if we all stand.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We'll take a moment of silent prayer. First on the agenda tonight is Councilmember Reed. He's here. I guess he's going to come and give us an update on what's going on with the budget and other issues.
My best. How you doing, Mayor?
Good to see you.
Yeah.
How's everybody?
I'm glad to be here. I'm Scott Reed. I'm your councilman. I've been on the Metro Council now for, this is going into my third year. And for those that don't know, the 16th district is a pretty wide district. I represent 14 suburban cities. Worthington Hills is one. The district goes from River Road up to Prospect. It includes all the River Road corridor, includes Worthington Hills, Coldstream, and again, a total of 14 suburban cities. And I try not to, I like to come out and see folks at least once a year, maybe twice, but I really don't want to beat on your business, so I won't be long. I wanted to tell you a little bit about what's going on downtown and then have you ask me some questions if you'd like. Some background on me, I'm on three committees. The one that matters probably the most to me is budget, which, as you know, we're going through a major budget issue now. I'm also on the Government Accountability and Oversight, which I just left the meeting a minute ago. We have the police chief in talking about several different things. And also Planning and Zoning, which any zoning decision that the Planning and Zoning Committee or Commission makes has to come through the Metro Planning and Zoning Committee, and I'm the co-chair of that committee. So in my regular job, and part of a family business called B.G. Reed & Sons, and we've been in the Louisville area since 1938. We're 12th in Kentucky, and we employ about 100 people, and we do business all over the country, primarily with pharmaceutical companies, healthcare HMOs, and financial services companies. So that's a little bit about me. I ran for Metro Council because I wanted to serve, and it's been a tremendous honor. It really has. I've enjoyed it. It gets a little taxing and a little stressful at times. I wanted to tell you a little bit about what's going on around here. First of all, there is going to be pretty major paving around the, down here. We have dollars set aside to pave Murphy Lane from approximately Halifax to Westport Road. So that should be happening in this next paving season. And it's a good thing that that money was already allocated, because I'm a little concerned now about how we're going to be moving forward with infrastructure spending moving into this next budget. Infrastructure is probably the biggest. I see government as providing public safety first, infrastructure second. So we managed to get a lot of infrastructure spending over the past 2 or 3 years. The roads have been pretty atrocious all through the district and all through the city, but we managed to get a lot of roads paved over the past 2 or 3 years, and that for the foreseeable future is going to be the case. Speaking of the budget, I wanted to maybe clear up some misconceptions about how we arrived at. How we arrived at where we are now and why I voted the way that I voted. First of all, last year, having gone through the budget process, which happens in May and June of every year, we go through the process is that the mayor presents a budget, okay? Then the council brings all of the agencies, various agencies in, interviews them, and then goes through the budget and makes a budget recommendation back to the mayor. So after last year's budget, this manager of office and budget told us that we were going to have a bad year with regard to health care. Now, Louisville is a self-insured healthcare program. So we knew that we were going to have a bad year. We had no idea how bad it was going to be. Well, it was bad to the tune of $10 million. The mayor, in my view, has not been completely forthcoming in telling people. He's mentioned it, but if you listen to him, he will tell you that all of the $35 million, make an inference, is with pension shortfall. It's not. $10 million of that is with health care. Some of us on the budget committee voiced the opinion last year that Metro employees should have to pay for some of that. And the mayor chose not to do that. And his argument was that in a tight labor market for labor retention, it was good not to do that. We beg to differ. So of the $35 million, $10 million of that is in healthcare costs. I'm sorry?
I'm a state worker.
Look, I don't disagree.
Everybody else has to pay for their
income. Well, in my business, we absorb some of it and we pass some of it on to the employees.
And we didn't have raises in years, so.
Yeah, I get it. So the mayor, in my view, should have convened everyone last year after the budget process, knowing that we had not only a bad year with regard to health care, but also with pension, knowing that this pension bill was going to be due, and bring everybody together and try to solve the problem. He didn't do that. We didn't find out the severity of everything until about 6 weeks ago, when his team came to us individually and said, it's either raise this insurance tax, which is the only thing that Metro can legally do without state approval, or we're going to have all these draconian cuts. So, in my view, at that point, not speaking for the rest of my colleagues, I thought, well, you can't solve a four-year problem because the pension bill is going to be due in four consecutive years in 4 weeks, or 5 weeks. So, I wouldn't know. The people that opposed the tax ordinance were made up of Republicans and Democrats. So, there were eight people of the Democrat caucus that voted no, along with the entire Republican caucus. So it was definitely a bipartisan decision. Now, what we have to do now, what the process is the mayor will come to us with a budget, and then we have to find the savings, okay? We think we can do that. We've found two or three different areas that we're looking at. He will tell you that no one on the council has come to him with ideas. Well, we can't do that until he comes to us with a budget first, because the second that we do that, then he'll come back with the counter argument that we can't do it. So we're getting ready to get into the budget process. It's not going to be pleasant, I can promise you that, but first and foremost, we are not going to cut public safety. I don't care. And he's telling everybody that we're going to do that. I don't like that approach. I like Councilman Ackerson's approach, which is that you start off with a 10% reduction in every department except public safety, and then you back your way into getting the savings. And we're looking at consolidating agencies. We're looking at a lot of different things. But I reject the argument that we have to shut libraries down and we have to cut public safety to balance this budget. I think we can do it without doing that. So what we're trying to do here is buy ourselves a year, so then we can have an entire year. We have to get through this budget cycle, then have an entire year to really look at everything. Are we operating as lean as we can? Do we really need the city to do parking? You know, other cities do it. They privatize it and they save a lot of money. Now the mayor's coming out and saying, well, it hasn't worked in these cities. Well, it's worked in a lot of other cities. So there are a lot of things that we feel like need to be looked at, but by doing this now, we have a chance. And I will say this also, I also reject the argument that, well, this insurance tax is only $100 more, $150 more a year for people. You tell that to people that are on fixed income, that have their LG&E rates going up, that have their MSD rates going up, that have property taxes going up, and that really bothered me a lot. And I heard that quite a bit, not only from his administration, but from people coming in the public comments. So that's what's going on in the budget. I encourage everybody that if you're so inclined, watch it. I can tell you that this is not going to be a pleasant thing. It's going to be two very hard months, but that's what we're here to do.
So,
does anybody have any questions for me?
I do.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a couple of them.
What is your name?
No, it's Howard Beckett.
Oh, no.
First of all, the one comment, I'm really tired of them damn bike lanes. They don't seem to help. People get hurt. But I've noticed they always seem to come to this end of town, beg money to fix the whole city. I don't notice them going downtown because that seems to be the pet project of the mayor to always fix downtown. Every time they build something like a Young Center or something, they build it downtown. We got a lot of land out here, you know, you can do it, and the parking's not bad. I mean, there'd be like, no, wouldn't have to spend all that money for parking. But they always begging money from us to fix the whole rest of the city. I don't notice them going out to the south end and begging money off of them to fix the whole city. They don't go downtown in the west end to beg money to fix the whole city. They just come to us. Why we gotta be paying for it? And they got somewhere, the mayor and that crew down there, they got in their head that everybody lives out in Lake Forest instead of like cities like Worthington Hills and out around Central State, those little tinier cities that are really, really small. We don't have the money. I mean, we're just working class folks. We're not the big, you know, executive people that live in Lake Forest. There's a bunch of Lake Forest areas, but for the most part, we're the working class. Why do we got to be paying for all these little pet projects of the mayor?
Well,
that's what's irritating to us.
Let me say this. First of all, and I like him, but if he had his way, there would be no suburban cities. He's made that very clear. So you're very fortunate in that you live in a suburban city where you have trash pickup, where you have ice and snow removal. You can control your own destiny. I'm reasonably sure, I didn't talk to the mayor about this, but had that insurance tax passed, you probably would have passed your own insurance tax. No?
Didn't know. Because I was under the impression that because we're our own little city out there, it would get part of it. But the thing is I want to discuss that with you anyhow, but yes, we're aware of it now. It won't happen again.
Right. So most of the people that I talked to in my district were going to read the insurance taxes and none of that money went back to Metro, and I don't blame them. I think this mayor has been a huge disappointment for anything outside of the urban service district. I really believe that. And he wants, his strategy is to try to bring people downtown. He has an urban center. And I'm not knocking. I have a lot of very good friends that are on the council. Many of them voted no from traditional African-American areas for this insurance tax because their constituents didn't want it either. So I have a lot of respect for them. But what I'm saying is that, it's an entire community here, and I voted no on the capital budget last year. I was one of three people who voted no because I just felt as though there were unanswered questions with regard to how we were going to finance certain projects, one of which was the I voted no on the soccer stadium. And, it's not that I'm opposed to soccer. I recognize that millennials want professional sports. I didn't like the land grab, and I didn't like the fact that we basically leased them. So we sold them the property. We could have leased it to them. There's a lot of things, but at any rate, I'm very much a fiscal conservative, and I'm very conservative with how I vote.
Downs doesn't have to pay back their loans.
Churchill Downs?
Yeah.
That was established.
Young Center, they're not paying back their loans.
Well, the Young Center is. Now, the Young Center agreement was repurposed 2 or 3 years ago. And
they didn't keep redoing the Downs. Well, Downs, they're never seeming to pay tax. They're
Churchill Downs worked a deal out with the city well before I ever got on council. We're probably 20
so
years
So that's
ago.
Just a lost deal. We're just
well, they're not going to pay tax for at least 15 years.
All right, good deal. That was a
terrible I got a couple of things.
A
yes,
whole
sir.
Lot of places to save money.
All right.
Is on Broadway.
First off, on infrastructure, that falls under road restricted funds, okay? Those restricted funds come from state. You have a fund that's completely restricted to repair roads. It's what it's designed for. It's, the funds are distributed from the Department for Local Government to all local cities and counties.
Okay.
So cutting the, you cannot intermix the road funds with general fund expenditures. You can't say that you can't do infrastructure repair or improvements, okay? Because that fund is basically restricted, and those funds you should have be able to in your budget. It should have a place where you have restrictor funded. That's what the road funds are.
Okay, but it is part of the general fund. I know that.
No, it should not be.
Okay.
Write it down, because I'm going to tell you right now, the DLG would frown deeply if they find out that the road funds are intermixed with the general fund's expenses. The other thing is write this KRS down. KRS 132.027.
Okay.
That has to do with the availability or the revenue increase from year to year for any governmental agency. It's limited to 4%. Now, 2 years ago, this area out here got reassessed by the PBA.
Mm-hmm.
Our property values went up 18%, and we had to decrease our tax rate. For the last 4 years, Jefferson County has not decreased their tax rate. Okay? And we know this area out here, if it went up 18% just in our town, there's no telling what Lake Forest went up, Prospect went up. And basically, if their revenue or their property values went up, the tax revenue or the tax per hundred should have went down for all of Jefferson County. By just figuring out the
understand what you're saying.
Yeah. The other thing, there was one more thing. The Yum Center. Didn't Councilman Atkins, is it Atkins?
Ackerson
mentioned something about redoing the contract on the Yum Center?
We've looked into that, and for those of you that have followed the Yum Center, you know, it was essentially built on a house of cards. That's the way I look at it. And about 4 years ago, the financing that was supposed to be coming in from the state, the state set up a tax incremental financing district. The revenue did not come in as projected. Okay? And with that, the bonds that they used, that they sold to finance the entire arena were downgraded from A rating to junk bond, okay, which meant essentially the city and its bond rating could have been sank. Now, about 2 years ago, the parties that were involved in that, which would have been U of L, the Arena Authority, the state of Kentucky, and Metro Government, were all brought together by a fellow by the name of Scott Cotts, who I know, I respect, I like him, who took the job on at no cost. I mean, he's not making any money from it. He's the head of the Arena Authority. And he got all the parties together to agree to essentially kick in more money. To the question that you're asking, Mayor, yes, as far as we can tell, Metro Government, and this all happened before me, Metro Government, well, I take that back. I voted on it. I was not part of the negotiations. Metro Government is paying more to maintain the bond ratings. However, by doing that, they're putting money into a reserve so that the entire loan gets paid off quicker. And had they not done that, then the state wouldn't have kicked theirs in, and U of L wouldn't have kicked theirs in. So, yes, that is true. However, based on what we can tell, if we try to renegotiate, which we're not even sure is legal, Regions Bank is the trustee of the bonds. They might not even let us do it. But if we did, then there's a chance that the whole house of cards would fall. I'm telling you exactly the way I was told. So, we did find this out, and this is the kind of little nugget, that the entertainers that have, everybody familiar with the occupational tax? By the way, Louisville is one of the highest tax cities in the country. People don't realize that.
Oh, really?
But we are. One of those high tax areas is our occupational tax. So if you work in the city, your employer is paying 1.1% for you, and then you're paying 1.1% out of your paycheck. Okay? What we've learned is that the Revenue Commission has not been collecting occupational taxes for anybody that's played baseball here, for the Bats, to anybody that's appeared at the Young Center. This has gone on for years, and nobody knows why. They've been charged to do that. They can do it, so that's something we're looking at as a way to collect revenue. And actually, as somebody that works here, kind of, you know, I mean, would you too, right? I mean, you know, you're paying your occupational tax. Why shouldn't somebody who swings a baseball bat for a living pay their occupational tax? We don't know that. But see, these are all things that, these are questions that we're asking and things that we're starting to find out.
Right.
So is there any way you can go back? And
that's a very good, that is an excellent question.
You know, Scott, can you, like, say, Scott, you play for the Redbird or the Blue Barrels or whoever the hell they are. We'll come after you.
Here's what we found out. This happened when I was working at DHL, because I was working there. I noticed they weren't taking out Boone County occupational tax. I left DHL. I called the Revenue Commission. I reported them, and the employer ended up paying the back. I don't know how far they digged them back, but I do know they digged them back, because at the time I was talking to the politician out there, because I was a Blue Cross Blue Shield rep. And of course, not only had I done something for them there that they were happy about, but the thing that I brought up was the occupational tax out to DHL, because they hadn't even known about them. That was the other thing I was going to bring up. On the health insurance, there is obviously, are they paying 100% of the family plans?
I don't know.
Okay, here's one thing you need to check, because I was a representative with Blue Cross. We ran into
this work on Blue Cross.
And I ran over in Carrollton what the self-insured companies in Carrollton was, and the chemical plant that's over there, mm-hmm. and the steel plant over there. What they did was they put in what they called the X factor. And what that amounted to was any spouse who was employed with another company who offered health insurance was required to take the health insurance, or if they didn't, then the self-insured carrier or the self-insured plan, mm-hmm. that their spouse was on, mm-hmm. okay, they would only be responsible for the co-insurance amount.
Okay.
They had a big jump off of the state plan at the time.
I'll ask the question.
If you need clarification on that, you have my number.
Okay.
It is something you can put into a self-insured plan where you as the employer are only responsible for the majority, for the higher percentage rate, and 20% or whatever your copay is on the spouse, if you got one of those.
One thing that we were told, maybe you can answer this question. I asked the manager of budget, the office manager, Office of Budget Management, if during the year as a self-insured plan, the council can get monthly updates in terms of how they're doing. He said they can't divulge that.
They can they can divulge, they cannot divulge individual cases, okay? They can divulge what their loss ratio is for the amount of premium dollars coming in.
Okay.
Okay? That does not divulge. That does, now, my understanding of HIPAA, that does, HIPAA only applies to divulging a particular individual's case. Okay?
I'm going to ask you this question during budget.
No, so what they're probably going to pay you is it costs money to get it. That's the reason why they won't do it. So,
it's an honor serving everybody. And you know, I have a big district. If you need me for anything, call me. Call my our legislative leader. Her name is Debbie. And I appreciate the opportunity to come in here. Is there anything else I'm trying to leave with? Just
help save money.
What's that?
Why, if he doesn't have money, where does he come up for all this big money for the? And I'm not.
But the Derby
race, for the West End. $1 million or something, and then restructuring Broadway to put in a bike lane.
I don't like the bike lanes either, but I will say this, in terms of the overall budget, it's way down there. I mean, even if you cut them all out, that's not going to get you that much money, okay?
I get it.
I understand.
What's the cost per lane for the amount of bikers using them?
It's not, I mean, good point. Every one of those insignias, by the way, that you see, costs the city $200. That's how much they cost.
Exactly. That's all
who
I'm saying.
Is the representative from the rest of Worthington Hills?
That would
he
be.
Took place.
But that would be.
Winkler.
Marcus Winkler.
Okay.
Any other questions? Need to get them off.
Thank you. No, I know you guys get on with your business. Thank you.
I'm not trying to run you out. Scott, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you
very
much. All right, you have my phone number.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you very much. You all satisfied? All right, next on the agenda, we're going
to
have...
We need to remember that not everybody in Worthington Hills was in his district.
Oh, he knows that. He has the majority of Worthington Hills, okay? Winkler just has a pittance compared to the rest of us. Yeah, and we're paying for it. The next on the agenda, I'm going to move it around because we have the D-Vic or Vic D.
No, it's Steve.
Oh, it's Steve! I'm telling you, if you don't know these two, if you put them side by side, you'd think they were twins.
Yeah, good buddy.
And Steve's younger, right?
Yeah. Oh, that's why I'm a year older.
Oh, well, I was trying to give you a... Okay, Steve's here to talk about the necessities of our streets. Carol worked with them. I went out with them for a while, but Carol's been talking to Steve, so I'll turn it over to Carol. Carol, you can take it from there.
This is Steve Triplett from All Terrain Paving.
And construction, yeah.
Yes. They have done work for our city before. In fact, over in front of our house, basically, just saved us from probably potential problems. But we went out, and because I do not understand anything about, he said basically the asphalt in good condition, but there are some problems, and he's going to explain it.
Yeah. First off, Bob and Carol, thank you for having me, and hello to everybody. I guess where to start at, how many road miles do you have of asphalt?
Well, it depends on how you count it.
Yeah,
okay. If you're counting both lanes, it's just under 5. If you're counting this way and that way,
yeah,
then you're just under 10.
Okay.
Well,
I'm going to go with the 5. But 5 miles of road, a lot of responsibility. So where I want to start at tonight, just to give you a quick education about what asphalt is and the investment you have and what it can cost you. Okay? These 5 miles of road you have, okay? From the time it first went down, the average road life of asphalt is about 10 years. Now, that doesn't mean it can't go longer. It could go less. Asphalt is only as good as the base it goes down on. Okay? Proper maintenance, you might stretch it another 5 years. So it's constantly something you're always going to be talking about in your budget, which Bob and Carol's done that. If you notice the asphalt when it first goes down, it's nice and black and rich looking. And you notice over the years, it starts to kind of fade out and get that grayish look. Okay, what that is, that's called sun oxidation. Okay, what causes that to turn from black to a gray is the sun beating on it up every day. You ever walked on asphalt bare feet?
Oh, yeah.
Burn you up.
Oh, yeah.
What the sun's doing is drying the oils out of the asphalt. And when that happens, that asphalt is just, instead of being somewhat spongy, it's still supporting hard, it gets hard and brittle, and that's when you start getting the cracks. Okay? Then when you get cracks, water underneath, you know, eruption, that causes the potholes. Okay? So there's certain maintenance over the years. I'm not a big fan of seal coating streets. Okay? If I go too quick or say something you want me to expand on, I will. Silk coating is more for parking lots. Silk coating does one thing. Okay? It helps slow down the sun oxidation. Okay? But other than that, something but curb appeal. It makes it look black. You're thinking the asphalt's new. The key thing is keeping the cracks filled with this filler. You know, a lot of companies have a machine where they got a big air compressor on the front of it. You're blowing all the debris out of that crack. And on the rear of the machine, they got the wands where they're applying the hot filler that gets down in that crack and seals it back off again. Okay? Other than that, you know, you're doing paving overlays where you have to come in with a big milling machine and take off an inch and a half, and the paver come behind and put down a brand new inch and a half. Okay? But during that process, you know, you may have some potholes you want to fill. The key thing about asphalt, standing water, which you showed me the last time out here, around curb and curb ramps, bad. Snow removal can be bad. Too much salt put down, or the wrong type of salt. You know, I buy a lot of salt from Magic Salt down there in Lowell. They got the type that's more congenial to asphalt and concrete.
That's what we use.
I'm good. I'm very good. I was just wanted to ask you about that. Okay,
we got a flat rate with them.
Good deal. Okay. But to give you a comparison on paving, okay, let's just say you had a block, the street's 35 foot wide, that's what some of your streets are, okay, and 500 feet long from this street to that street. To pave that at an inch and a half, you're looking at $15,000. Okay? All right? Now, maybe over the first 15 or 20 years, you've done some milling and some pothole filling, some crack filling. People say, well, a lot of companies think or cities think, well, I'm not going to do nothing. I'm just going to wait until it's all done and tore up, and I'll just take the big bite at one time. Sometimes maybe that's not wrong. I don't agree with it. Okay, I think you can kind of kick that can down the road a little bit, but. Another thing that maybe I don't know if anybody will talk to you about is micro-surfacing?
No.
Okay. We did this this year and last year with Google Metro. Okay? And what micro-surfacing is, you know, first of all, we took the asphalt. Asphalt is nothing but a 53 size rock, or like DGA, okay, with silica sand and the asphalt emulsion oils. The driving cost of asphalt is the oils, just like, well, oils for your gasoline and stuff like that. That's why you see it escalate up and down. Okay? Microsurfacing is a cement and asphalt base blended, okay, with half the rock that you would have normally in the asphalt. Now, asphalt is put down in an inch and a half compacted. Microsurfacing is put down to 3/8 inch. Okay. It has enough oil in it where at the 3/8 inch overlay, okay, it'll get down and take care of your crack problem. Okay? And also, you know, resupport the road, and it will have a tendency to stay black longer as the asphalt and not like the sealing thing I was talking about earlier. Now, the cost of that would be for the same 35 foot wide, say 500 feet, would be around $6,700, which is about a 55% savings. And we did that out on some high dollar areas off of Brownsboro Road 42. And most people liked it, okay? Some people didn't because they didn't understand it. But once it got down, all the problems stopped, okay? So there's different ways you can attack it from a budget standpoint. I'm sorry if I'm dangling around here, but you know, you got...
Hello.
Yeah, how you doing? You got track filling, you got milling and paving, which we gave you a quote based on your budget, and that's, you got the money, you need to spend it, okay? Then you've got the full line paving, or you got the microsurfacing. But again, with 5 miles of road, okay, you do the math, 5 miles is a mile is 5,280 feet, okay, so take that times five, then take that times 35 for your width, and you've got a lot of square feet of road to take care of. It adds up, okay? So with that being said, that's a little history of what I've seen in my 30 years around asphalt. Do you have any questions I can answer?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
You want
to go ahead? No, go ahead.
Go ahead. Anybody? This micro surface that you've put down, how long has it been tested, and what's the result that you put it down last year? What's it?
Well, okay, but you heard me earlier say that a new asphalted road, hot mix, has a life expectancy of 10 to 12 years. Okay, micro, 7 to 10 years.
Okay.
How many?
7 to 10.
7 to 10. I thought you said 70.
No, not 7 to 10.
No. She doesn't care about that. I don't think that is 7 years old. It won't matter. Is this synthetic?
No, it's basically... It's old base with PJ rock and cement type material mixed with asphalt based material.
Does it hold up as well to snow removal?
Yeah, it does. It's just another way of what I view when I was out with Bob and Carol. You've got cracks, two different types of crack. You got a long running, what I call stress crack. Okay? That's just the stress of the road. Then you've seen cracks, you know, say a 5x10 area that's just one, I call it alligators, it's like an alligator's back. Okay, that's basically sub base filling. Okay, that's what's causing that type of crack. That usually has to be milled out and redone. But the long running crack that you see going this way, maybe spiders off that way, can be filled. You want to stay after those. If you don't, then they're going to become alligators.
Well, on those ones that are on Lukeberg.
What's that?
On Lubenberg there.
Yeah.
The ones where at the speed bump, we came up the hill there.
Mm-hmm.
What you call probably the same alligator. So what you're saying is we couldn't put the micro paving on there.
Oh, the micro paving goes curb to curb.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's what the micro I like about it, because it has enough oil motion in it that it'll fill those cracks in and give you that 3/8 layer on top of it.
So we could virtually try that in the different areas where we've got the just portions, and basically get that down and try and retrieve the life expectancy on that part of the pavement, because from what I can remember, you said our streets are in pretty good shape except for the cracks that we've got from stress.
We do mean to de-road the whole area, and actually you got some pretty good roads. Okay. They're getting to the point where they're grayed out. You know, that's from that sun oxidation. They're drying out, okay? You need to start looking at it, what you're doing, okay? So I would, the low areas where the water's standing, you know, paving, only paving is going to fix that. Microsurfacing won't, it'll still be too low. So you need to get after those and get after as much crack as you can this year.
Yeah, well, the problem with the lower area you're talking about, we've got this MSD problem in Worthington Hills. Okay.
Okay.
If we start digging out or increasing that, then we have a problem with the drainage.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, it's a never ending.
By honest,
I blame somebody else all the time.
No, I know. It's pushing the water, and as a paver, you know, I stay up late, but at Mike's point about it, you know, I got a water problem here and I fix it. All I've done, unless I got proper drainage, I've just pushed it down the road.
Right.
Somebody else is complaining. But, yeah, I totally understand what you're saying.
All right. Is there any questions from the audience? I know I felt this way four years ago, folks. So the micro paving, I don't know about, we can talk about it later, but, you know, Carol knows the areas I'm talking about. We do have some potholes that need to be filled.
Yes.
And so I'm looking at, you know, what you have on there is strictly milling out rather than doing some of this micro paving.
Yeah, the bid I gave you is to come out with the milling machine, and usually we'll take 2-2.5 inches out of there, square it up nice and neat, put new asphalt in, and then we'll edge the seams with the new and the old beam to keep water from getting down in the new patch.
Right. Yeah, you're good about putting. See, this is the other thing. Your company is very good about where the two seams meet.
Mm-hmm.
Putting a tarp material on it.
Yeah.
I've actually had to go out when I was road commissioner and tell them, I want them seam sealed.
Well, you're smart for doing that because what happens is that the water's going to get in there and it's blowing the new patch right now.
Right. So, is there any other questions? Because I'm going to let Steve go. Because we'll probably want to consider that micro.
Yeah, I mean,
processing for those parts on Ludenberg.
But keep in mind, when you micro, if you got a pothole, that pothole has to be fixed.
Right.
Okay. But
there wasn't potholes in that part where I was talking about. That was strictly.
You only had that one bad area, and I can't remember the name of the street over there.
Are you talking about the North Pulaski and the Jonell, the cutoff?
Yeah.
Well, that's because the contractor only put a half or a 3/4 inch of asphalt down. If you looked at it, It's no more than this. And that's the problem we ran with today run, was the same contractor was over in that area. And not having a good commissioner that checked to make sure they were putting down the right top coat.
Well, you guys are on top of it. I've dealt with you both for a number of years. And my suggestion as an asphalt guy, I don't know exactly what your budget is, that I clean up the potholes and spend the rest of it on crack. Maybe next year, call me, I'll come out, we'll walk through this micro thing, okay? And,
I'm concerned about,
maybe pick up, you can pick up 1,000 feet of street for roughly, right, 14,000.
I'm concerned about the part where that on Ludenberg, where there's 2 or 3 places where it's doing the major alligator in that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the part that you can put all the all the black top down on top of those, and it's just gonna look.
And what we're doing, if I just get to put that milling head down on there, and somebody's not put the correct asphalt down, it also tells me probably they don't have the correct sub base down or a block. And my price includes if I need to bring rock in and compact it prior to putting the asphalt down, we'll do it right.
Okay. Anything else? All right, Steve.
Thank you. Appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Take care.
Mm-hmm. Okay, moving right along. Next up is citizens' participation. Anybody that wants to speak, speak now, or you'll have to wait until the end of the meeting.
Bob, is there any way, I don't care what you have to do, but I'm getting tired of seeing garbage cans sitting in front of people's houses for weeks at a time. And Ludenberg is getting to be real bad at that.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's what my answer to that is, okay? It's not an ordinance. Okay?
I know it's not.
Okay. We are going to put in, and we're working on this, the renter's registration ordinance.
This is not rental houses on some of them.
Okay. Well, it's just a matter of,
is it
personal?
Can I
go ahead, Steve?
No, I just want to ask: is the issue that residents were leaving the garbage cans at the curb,
and they walked in from their house and put the garbage in the garbage can that's sitting out by the mailbox?
They never moved it.
This is the first I've heard of that. Did you report that to the utilities commissioner?
No.
Why?
No.
Well, what are you going to do?
I'm doing well. I
could do something to address it.
I thought you said you drove around the subdivision.
I do drive around the subdivision.
How have you missed this
meeting? I think if you let me know and take a picture,
I drive around the
I can send them a letter and say the nuisance is what it is. We can attack them on the nuisance ordinance.
But I have. I
will take a picture and send it to you.
Yes.
It's your email.
That'd be good.
I have watched them.
Give me the address. The owners.
Steve Adams. No, hang on. Okay. He's not to use his CBAT anymore.
Oh,
okay?
Okay.
It's on our website. It's attorney at City of Worthington Hills, KY.
And I don't know if I'll get that.
Man. You get that. Trust me. Okay. I send everything to you that way.
Okay. Worthington Hills, KY.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Send it to both and also send it to Linda.
Dot gov.
And send it to Linda also. And she's.
Utility Commissioner. It's all on our website. Utility Commissioner.
I thought we did have an ordinance. I think it comes under the nuisance ordinance.
Well, I'm going to make a picture of your garbage can, even if it's up against your house. I'd assume they were behind your house. That's just me.
But that's
the
curb. Always.
It's at
the top.
I've literally put my neighbor's garbage
cans
in their
garbage. On the top
of
the
garbage.
I see it. The driveway.
You move the garbage can?
I'll move them into the driveway. And they'll pull them out of the way and pull in the driveway. I thought we did have something that was like 24 hours or something. That's not accurate.
I thought so too. When I moved here, I thought you had to. You couldn't be out till 6 o'clock prior to the pickup and have to be back
really?
6 day after
but
6
it
p.m.
Exist.
It doesn't exist. Because
Are they in the streets?
Mm-hmm.
Are they leaving them in the street? Or
no, they're
not
in the
street.
Them in the street and they sit there.
They leave them at the curb.
It's just common courtesy.
Well, if you get that to me, I'll work on
that. I wish they'd get rid of that damn wound and get up the Christmas tree thing.
Sometimes they leave in front of the mail.
Anything else? No mumbling in the audience. Anything else?
We can't have a Christmas tree in the front window.
We'll remove that as soon as we find it, okay? Alright, anything else?
Propose we all hug.
I think we all need us. All right. Yeah. Good luck. All right. Good night, Ham. Next on the agenda is the March 19, 2019 city minutes. Is there any. Is everybody ready? Yeah, they're all online. They were online. That's where they're always at. Every Friday.
Are you staying on the web?
Yeah, and she emailed them out. Didn't you email them out?
No.
No, she's not emailing
them. You put them out there
on the I put them online.
My fault, and I didn't check the web.
No, I was waiting for them to come from her like they had before, so I didn't.
Sorry about that. I'm sure there are no corrections.
Well, we'll put them on standby for the next meeting, okay?
We'll read them.
They're online. They will be out there again they will still remain out there so that you all, by the way, check online. I've tried to make this as paperless as possible. We have a nice website. You know it. Alright. City financial reports. I know they were emailed out.
Yeah.
Was there any corrections?
Corrections? What comments?
Any comments? I just got reprimanded by the treasurer. If you didn't notice, we had a new form or a new piece of paper come out with the financial reports this time. It was the reconciliation. Anybody that's been at the meeting for the last 4 years know how much I screamed about that. The key word was scream. And now I asked Dan if he would this time, because we only had two checks that didn't get returned and they were on the first financial account, but I wanted him to also include the one on Independence Bank, whatever it was. One of them had two checks that hadn't been returned, and I wanted to make sure you saw how it worked. So with that said, if there's no comments, do I hear a motion?
Motion to accept.
Thank you, Commissioner Eichenberger.
Thank
you, Commissioner Metcalf. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All right, unanimous. Even the mayor says yeah. All right, next on the agenda, I'm glad to see Steve made it. He looks a little refreshed. Did you go home and take a shower, you know, after that heated case today?
Well, I was down in Oldham County and had a jury trial, and I won. They ruled in my favor, but they didn't give me as much money as I wanted, so I was a little discouraged.
Surprise.
So anyway, I didn't bring my files or anything. What we did do is the renter's thing is coming along. It's going to be effective July 1. Where Robert is smart, we're incorporating the Metro government ordinances. They do have one in renters. I prepared and sent it out to, I think, globally, at the application form with the idea that people could review that and give me comments about it. And so I did that. And there it is. So did I send that to everybody? Yeah.
It was sent on Sunday.
So what I would suggest is if you have any ideas, I think it's simple. It's kind of what we talked about. But Robert was talking about the inspection, and I don't think that we have a right to inspect. I think the federal government has a right to inspect Section 8 housing because that's part of the deal. The owners apply for Section 8 housing, they get approved, they bring in the tenants, and the government, as always, has restrictions and stuff, so they have a right to inspect. I don't think that we can inspect, I guess if the owners agree to it, but I don't think that that's going to happen. And if anybody has any comments, you can talk about them tonight or send them by email, and I'll amend this thing. Robert, what do you think? You and I are the ones who talk about that.
Well, let me put it this way. If you don't put it in, you won't know. Okay? First off, we don't have... the problem we have is that the fact that they're renting property within the city limits, we aren't enforcing them, or we are not forcing them to pay an occupational tax. If we did that, then we had this discussion, then we have to force all occupation, all little small businesses within the city to also pay occupational tax. We're not charging them a registration fee, but if they don't comply, it's a fine. The reason why we don't do the fee is it could be considered tax. So here again is we're giving them the benefit of all they have to do is register. If they don't register, then there's a penalty. Okay. I just feel it's to their benefit and to the benefit of our property owners, because when houses aren't maintained properly, and we have a lot of trash around them, and you know about that. There's these people that basically are receiving revenue within the city, and I feel like, in my opinion, just as a resident, that those people that they're renting to, the landlord needs to make sure his property is maintained properly, and that we don't have a right to go in and inspect it as a city, but the fire marshal probably has the right to do it based off the fact that it's in Metro Louisville and it is a business, because they have to be registered with Louisville Metro's renter's registration also. It's a public safety issue. If they go in there, like you said, if they go in there and find an issue, then they're obligated to contact the public health department over it. It's to me, there's two protections on there. It's a protection to the renter itself, protection to the property owners, the surrounding property owners. It's a protection for us as a city. It increases our value when we know that the property being property maintained in topside. We only see what's outside. We don't see what's inside. How many times did you read in the paper about the thing? It's just, I'm not the greatest house cleaner, okay? But I don't have a fire hazard in there that I know of, okay?
I'm glad to see this, and I hope it can be enforced, and I hope it can, because this will help us greatly.
Right.
In the condominium community, because we have this problem. And what you said to me in that email about the HOA taking care of a fire hazard, we have two rental units who had grills.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it says in the rules and regulations of the HOA, grills are not allowed. You can't have a charcoal grill on a wooden deck. Mm-hmm. Common sense would tell you that. But these renters don't know what the rules and regulations are, because the owners don't register that they have rentals, and we have no way of keeping up with who's coming and going. I can't wait for this to take effect.
Right.
Because it's one thing to have a violation of a fire code in a standalone house. You know, somebody's got their grill sitting on their wood deck and they catch their wood deck on fire, that's bad. You have your grill sitting on a wood deck where you've got 16 other homeowners, and that's a catastrophe waiting to happen.
Right.
Andre, do you know who the renters are?
I don't know who the renters are, but I know who the owners are. I can go on the sheriff's property tax site and find the name of any owner in Jefferson County. It's very easy.
Yeah, you can go to PVA too.
We can do it on the PVA, but the PVA doesn't always give you the address of the owner.
No, they give you the address of the property.
They give you the address of the property. The sheriff's the tax website gives you the address of the owner of that property. And I use it a lot.
Okay.
In our HOA, we use it a lot. But we're running into it, and I can't wait. I cannot tell you how happy I am to see this get ready to.
And I talked to Victoria, our web designer assistant. Not only can we get it, when we put it up on the website on the forums, we can actually get her a copy of it. We'll be able to. She's going to look at what we have to see if she can integrate it so that it can be filled out online. And if it can be filled out online, then I'll find out how we can download it into an Excel file or something. So here again, is we're going to make it as easy as possible for the owners to do. But you bring up a good question on the enforcement. We have a code enforcement ordinance. The problem is this. There's two problems we have. Number one is, the people that were appointed to those positions are no longer active on because they had a rotation on them and they had to be reappointed once a rotation came up. Okay? And as it is, I don't know if Ed knew this because Ed was one of them. The first person that was appointed for 3 years. His term ended at the beginning of this year. Okay? The second person was termed 2 years. That ended 2 years ago, or a year ago. And then the third one was the year after their appointment. And what was supposed to happen was, as each one of those terms came up, okay, they could be reappointed, or we could find a new person. It didn't happen. And as it is right now, we have a code enforcement ordinance without a code enforcement board. Mm. Okay? So this is one of the things that we have to look at, and I wanted to make sure to bring this up, even though it isn't on here. This is, if you know somebody that wants to get on the code enforcement board, here's what we need. There's three people. Our code enforcement is designed for three people, okay? The thing is we have to have a place, a standard public place, or publicized place, that they know if anybody wants to appeal, okay, they have to have a time and a place, just like a city meeting. We may not have to have it every month, but it has to be specified. This is what the appeal process is. Anytime you write a code enforcement or code violation out, you have to give them their appeal rights.
Well, yeah, sure. Yeah.
Right, okay. So this is what we need to do. And Steve, you still have the code enforcement ordinance somewhere down at your office.
Yes.
If you would, could you make a note to send that out to all the...
Yeah, I will. We need to post that.
Right.
And
right.
The other ones that are applicable, I will.
Right, right.
Getting back to this for a minute, if I may, I guess I should just push the property maintenance, the email address. That would be the best way to contact you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And also, Bob, this raises a good thing, that the property owner is responsible for maintaining the exterior of the property, so that if we have grass or some nuisance out there, it's their responsibility. So we'll cite them as opposed to the tenant. Of course, we'll know who the tenant is when they fill out these forms. But anyway, I'll massage this a little bit more. Now, I've been extremely busy and I've spent a lot of time in Worthington Hills, but I'm in deficient in a couple things. What I'd recommend, and Bob and I have working hard a lot of this stuff. He comes out to the office. He used to bring food, but definitely more. So if we can next week decide on a date where maybe Linda and Bob could come out, we can knock a lot of this stuff out. I mean, the answers to the for the foreclosure actions, I've got that all formed up and I can take care of that. But I want to get on top of all this thing. If there's anything that needs to be done, maybe we can just knock it out all next week if that's amenable to Robert and Beverly. I didn't bring my file because I thought I'd make it back to the office.
Well, that's all right. It's not a problem.
But I'm finished unless anybody has any questions.
We're going to try and get this knocked out next month. So, again, I have talked to Steve for the last 3 weeks on and off, and I was actually in his office last week because we'll get to this a little bit later, but we had a hearing on the phone. We'll get to that shortly. Is there any other questions for Steve?
That's good.
Is there any questions from the audience for Steve?
That's good, too.
Okay.
All right. Question on that ordinance. You said that for the board, the three people, three members for the code enforcement, does that have to be separate from this meeting, or can this be the place they come?
No, it has to be. It would be separate from this meeting.
So it's just the three code enforcement people.
Right, and it doesn't necessarily, the only time that they would have a meeting is when there is somebody that's appealed it. And there's an appeal process in the ordinance. But it has to be also included on any citation that's given to us. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Now, the reason for all that was to internalize it here so that we didn't have to deal with downtown. And it became somewhat cumbersome. It is cumbersome. And when I prepared the citations, which the police officers kind of ignored, it was in there that the various things. But if we want to, and of course downtown is not going to enforce our ordinances, but I'll send the code enforcement ordinance out to everybody, and we can chew on that next time.
Yeah, the next time we're going to be on budget, so we'll be dealing with that too. Is there any other questions? Make sure I didn't miss something. All right. I know I skipped over it. The invoice receipts and reimbursement expense review. Do I hear a motion to accept it?
Okay. I move to accept it.
Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Eichenberg.
Quick question. Custom paper.
Yes. Yeah, that was my credit card. My debit card. We've done Steve's. Okay. Alright, we aren't completely done with this, but I'm going to give you an update on Roy and Betty's hearings, okay, unemployment hearings, because this is an issue. Dennis and I were down at Steve's on Friday. We had, this was hearing the unemployment appeal hearing. They were denied, they didn't deny twice. And so they wrote a letter appealing. They had a date for a phone hearing. There was some skepticism because they had set up a wrong code to get into the meeting, so we had a little skepticism there. And some of the materials didn't get to the proper people, the hearing referee, and we didn't get our copy. So there was about 30 or 40 minutes of shuffling papers back and forth. As it is, it was continued for Roy. And this morning we were supposed to do Betty's, but because Steve's jury trial, went on longer than he expected, yesterday afternoon when we sent down the paperwork to Frankfurt on what we're going to use for exhibits, okay, also included in a bag to continue based off of Mr. Schweiger being in a jury trial, and the commission would also request that the Betty's be continued too. So as it is right now, we'll be waiting for another letter to hear when we're going to have the hearing. Now, the good thing was, this person I talked to today, and Dennis was over at my house when this was all going on, we were listening on the speakerphone, and I was recording it, okay. The person that was on the phone was actually a scheduler. So she was going to actually call Steve's office so that they could work out the schedule with Steve so that we're not in this same fit again. So that was a good thing. They've been really good. By the way, the referee that we have for Roy's, and I'm assuming we'll get the same referee, right? See,
well, it's not certain, but the referee, and I've been doing this mostly on the employer side intermittently for years, and this woman was sharp. I mean, she asked 10 questions that were just right on the money. The burden of proof, I was surprised that Roy and Betty applied because they had represented in emails that they were full-time, they resigned and all of that stuff. I think that all works in my favor, and they were denied benefits. In fact, one of them was awarded benefits and then it was overturned after we disclosed certain information and stuff. But once you lose, and they're the appellants, they appeal, the burden of proof is on them to somehow introduce new evidence that would convince the hearing officer that they should win. And I think it's an impossible task. But nonetheless, they have a right to a hearing. And a lot of times, over the years, when we got adverse rulings for clients, a lot of these hearing officers are employee-oriented, and I was in two unions, the Teamsters and the Amalgamated Meat Cutters growing up and stuff, but regardless, they have, when you appeal, if you get an adverse ruling from a hearing officer, you can appeal to a third-person, three-person commission, and they always get it right. when they see that the hearing officer made a bad decision, they fix that real fast. So I feel confident. I love Betty and Roy. I mean, I'm surprised that they did this, and I don't think they're going to win. It is consuming time and energy of the city, but that's why I'm here, and I don't think they're going to win on appeal.
All right. Do I understand that correctly? You can file for unemployment if you're employed?
No.
No.
Okay. I know.
No.
I wouldn't think it would be a slam dunk case.
Well, it's like anything else. Everybody has a right.
This would be considered a part-time job, and I've never seen that case. I haven't done some research. If you're working full-time and then you're working part-time and you resign, it's an impossibility.
Yeah.
Just
all right. Next thing that I have on here is... I'm going to read this because we need to, and I have to do this according to this. I have to get the notice in the meeting. This is to possibly receive a motion to go into closed session. Pursuant to KRS 61.810, subsection 1C, which reads all the full ordinance, or the full statute up to 1C is, all meetings of a quorum of members of any public agency at which any public business is discussed or at which any action is taken by the agency shall be public meetings open to public at all times except for the following, and this is 1C. Discussions of proposed or pending litigation or on behalf of the public agency. Again, all litigation against or on behalf of the public agency. So with that, do I hear a motion to move into closed session? It won't be very long.
Motion to move into closed session.
Thank you, Commissioner Eckenberger. Do I hear a second?
Sir.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. If I can ask everybody to leave except for Steve. We're ready to reconvene. Do I hear a motion to reconvene?
Motion to reconvene.
Thank you, Commissioner Eckenberger.
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Vidal. All right. Now, we come out of closed session, and I need a motion, if there's any, on that we can talk about. Motion to...
Transitional
Technologies.
Motion to hire Transitional Technologies to do the appropriate work.
Okay. Do I hear a second?
I second
that. All right. Commissioner DeVille made the motion to hire Transitional Technologies, and Commissioner Campbell second. I'm going to take a voice vote, or a roll call vote. And I will start with Commissioner Campbell.
Yes.
Commissioner Deville.
Yes.
Commissioner Metcalf.
Yes.
Commissioner Eichenberger.
Yes.
Mayor Stone, yes. So motion passes. All right. The next order of business. Now, we've already talked about the rental registration, and I told you we're going to be able to do possibly a right registration. Meeting locations. Okay, has anybody come up with meeting location? Because I need to, tonight before I leave, I need to make sure we still have the reservation for next month. And also need the approval to talk with Mr. Patel about possibly extending, working with him so that we can continue on for the next year, not going to pay in advance, like they have been doing in the past illegally, okay? But to basically get a good, reasonable arrangement with him for the time being.
That's fine. How about the school that's over here?
And they won't return the phone call. Every time I call them, she just doesn't return.
Do I have their permission to talk to this woman that I talked to before? When we had our open meetings.
You have any issues with it? Okay. If you want to do that and get back in touch with them.
Because the way they said it, they would fix everything up for us.
Okay.
And
all right.
Okay.
All right. If you, I know we're
Farmers.
Huh?
North Commons.
Well,
the fire department just can't commit to us having the room on the same, on the third Tuesday of every month. Because they have training sessions there. They don't know when they're going to have a training session.
Right. I know, when we first started, we used the one.
Right, I've been there, done that.
Okay, I'll take care of that.
Okay, if you'll just get them and let them know, I will talk to them. All right, so do I hear a motion to allow me to at least talk to Mr. Patel to try to make some kind of arrangements for his, we'll just say the next 12 months?
Don't make it yet.
Yeah.
I made that motion.
Here's the argument that I used to get from Mayor C. If we don't pay in advance, then we don't get the room.
That's not true.
I know it's not true. I just want to be able to talk to Mr. Patel and make sure that we can be assured this room every Tuesday. Okay. If I have to bring Steve in on it, I'll
but only talking. No, no sign, no contract.
Okay. So I hear a motion.
I'm making
a motion. Okay. Commissioner Campbell makes a motion, and do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner.
The proper language, Bob, would just say, you can go month to month.
Okay, well, that's fine. We'll work with it. You'll help me out.
All right. 20-page contract.
No, I don't want any 20-page contract.
Okay.
All right. Old business. Let's see. Commission members item updates in the process will need approval. Okay. Anybody got any old business they want to bring up?
The girls did a great job.
Oh, yes, they did. I looked at this. Yeah, thank you.
They could have been a little bit bigger.
But that's just me.
Well, they're experimenting with
things. Let me put it this way. If the problem with the size is the problem, what I had her do, there's two locations on Bay Run, right on the Lutenberg side. Mm-hmm. I had her go down and measure them and asked her to go ahead and use that same size. Okay? Mm-hmm. So that is the standard size, because I've seen those throughout the city, and that is usually the size.
And did she tell you that Quiz suggested that they have some police protection?
Well, they have the parents out there.
They had some problems.
Did they have some problems?
With some cars trying to get through.
Okay.
So the Girl Scouts have started painting the addresses?
Yes, they did.
Boynton.
Okay. I just found out.
I think you can see them at night.
Huh?
I can see the numbers at night.
That's really sweet.
Okay. We're in the middle of beautification month, and the mayor got his house powder washed. If nobody's been past it.
Power washed it. Yeah. It looks good. So power washed it.
It's a company that... this gentleman, this is a young man who wants to get out of corporate America. He's tired of working. He's an electrician by trade. So if you have any electrical needs, but he basically, I didn't ask for anything special, but he has a discount for first-time buyers or first-time customers as a commission member. I can't give you their names, but I assure you, those that are on a list will be notified. So, the pictures are out there. I haven't posted them yet.
Oh.
Okay, but you will kind of take pictures, you know. But anyhow, it looks real nice. I've had compliments on it. It looks like a new house. Got my car fixed, so it's nice and shiny. So it's out there too.
Yeah.
All right.
We've
had a
Do we have a city flag?
We
don't have a city flag.
Yeah, we have a flag.
Well, then you ought
to
fly it in front of your house.
A city flag.
Oh, no, we don't have a city flag.
Then we need one.
Yeah. The outside says the mayor lives here.
Yeah. Yeah. I think one. I think one. We're going to target symbol and put it out there in front of my house.
Yeah.
Put it out there. Okay. All right. Has anybody made any plans on the story you can start electro processing or doing an electronic filing system for our files?
I looked through this list of in the on the Kentucky League of Cities website, and the one that you gave us too, on what you're supposed to retain and what you can throw away and what you can do. I get very nervous. Well, for one thing, we do have to stick to the two-person rule, and I don't think anything should be taken off the property of the storage center. You had suggested taking it to our homes to do it, but there might be personal information in their tax records or something that we don't want anything floating around outside of the storage unit.
Well, we need to get this stuff electronically copied.
Well, we don't even know what stuff to copy.
Well, I sent Bev, didn't I send you a retention schedule?
No.
I'm going to send out the retention schedule, because there's a Kentucky, I'm not looking, like I said.
There is.
Yeah, I'm not looking to get everything quickly, okay? But I would like to get it started, because it's going to take some time. There's a retention schedule. It looks intimidating until you figure out that there's just some of that stuff that doesn't apply to us. Most of the stuff has to do with retention of city records, accounting, you know, like we're way behind on our audits, and in there it says audit in 3 years, okay? So old audit files can be, you know, may be able to be removed that we might have. There is, I mean, the city minutes, they're in there forever, okay?
Yeah.
Things that are there, there's a list of what has to be retained forever, okay? So again, I will send that out. I'll do that first thing tomorrow. I'll send everybody a copy of the retention schedule.
I just don't think, as a utility commissioner, I don't want the responsibility of maybe throwing something away that shouldn't be thrown away.
Well, I don't want anybody throwing anything away to start with. Okay, if it's in
then
there,
then
just
going to move it from one box there, to the other.
I just want them filed. If you saw the boxes, they're
it's
unorganized.
Boxes.
They're unorganized. Okay, they don't tell you much of anything when you're looking at them, unless you look at them real hard. Okay, they may have the year on them, but they don't have anything
separating them,
you know. So,
I organized a group of photos at home one time, and I organized them by year.
Yeah.
And then I went into each year and organized that box, and it made a little more sense.
Right.
Than to try to start with the whole thing at one time.
Right. Right. That's
you were saying something about electronically.
Scanner.
Right. So in other words, then we would need to have a scanner set up.
I think that's down the road.
Okay.
I just want to get them in the boxes and organized. Okay. Once they're in the boxes organized, then you can take it to the next step. Okay. But when you walk into a file cabinet and they're all just laying there, and you have no rhyme or reason knowing what they are. I mean, Dennis and I went in there to find the stuff that the auditors requested. Dan gave me a list back in, was it January? And Dennis and I went down a couple weekends later, and then, I mean, we were in there, wind blowing through the door, and a little damp, and we managed to find most of the stuff, and it was only after we figured out what the organization was. So, you know, we could easily, had it been right, went in there and said, oh, here's the file for the property maintenance for this fiscal year. Here's the file for the security, this and this, okay? So, and that way, you know, people saw what we have over there, they'd freak out. It isn't like we don't have the file, it's just not organized.
What did you say? Have you got any cabinets over there?
The cabinets that are over there are old, and there is files in them. Don't know how many there is. Well, we have storage boxes that are designed for files, okay? So they're over there. They've just never been used. Anything else? Anything else on old business? I know somebody's got something on old business.
Hey, one old business thing is the pond disappeared last week.
The pond's gone.
And the greenhouse with the
The dumpster is gone, and the house is power washed.
Yeah,
it
was
good.
Yeah, it's under the finance company has the one that went in there and done all that. Because Dennis and I stopped after the last meeting. Dennis and I stopped and talked to the gentleman who was doing a remodeling, and we advised him that we had a few comments. That was that Friday after the city meeting about the dumpster being overflowing, and he was just a contractor. He said, "Well, I've called the owners, and it just hasn't been moved, so we can't take credit for that either." All right, new business. Anybody got any new business they want to talk about? Yes, yes, ma'am.
I do. Basically, there are some signs in the city that need to be replaced. Harold drove one day, went around, and we really looked, and then on April 2nd, I really finalized that we need 8 signs, and I have the list. I have and made very specific places where they belong. And then I went over and met with Andrew Freebart at the Safety Coal Company, and he has given a quote on the 8 signs as well as the labor and the one pole that we need, and I asked to straighten up a stop sign. There's a stop sign at Bayrun Drive and Bayrun Court that is just real bent. And so the total comes to, now that's with tax on there, and he won't charge tax. Bob's already given me the tax number. But it comes to about a little over $1,000, $1,050 or something, once you take the tax off. And then I've also asked that he would notify me when they're doing it, so I'll just be nosy and make sure they get in front of the spot. I really don't want Pulaski Court to go on a different spot. Okay, but we had to replace Westburg. And then the Pulaski Court one. Need 2 new stop signs. I had them replace 3, added a children at play sign larger, and something else.
The bump.
Oh, yes, and a speed bump sign.
Well, if I win a mayor this year, sign for free.
Oh.
Well, you're talking.
And
which side of Pulaski is the sign?
It is the one.
Old Pulaski. The old Pulaski.
It's your bar. You can't read it.
There's one that you can't read. I thought that's going to be pretty obvious, and now I can't remember which side it was on.
But Pulaski, you can't even read it.
Can't even read it.
I'll put it something
on. Okay. We'll get there in a second.
Okay.
All right. So we need a motion to purchase the signs.
I make a motion that we purchase the signs.
Thank you, Commissioner Bedell.
I second.
Thank you, Commissioner Eichenberger.
Okay, I'll take care of it.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? That's unanimous. All right. Yes, ma'am.
I've got something too.
What's that?
Harold. Me and Harold drove the city yesterday looking at the islands and the open space and everything, and he's giving me a little list here. Do you want to run through your list? You
see, I may not remember it all.
Here it is.
You're not going to see it.
Well,
he's an old man. Yeah, I'm an old man.
Why don't you have your specs? I got to.
All right, so from what needs to be done most to last, this first is the sprinkler system has to be turned on, and the backflow valves have to be tested. That's,
can they turn it off after they're done?
Probably.
You need to call the vendor.
Yeah, but he put it off last fall, so most important, least important, that's the most important thing.
The water comforter part of it, yeah.
That has to be done, yeah. Weed prevention, have Boynton Court and the Flagpole Islands treated for weeds and fertilize the grass, and I've received 2 quotes, so I just need an okay on that. Actually, it's going to save the city money because I pulled weeds all year last year, so hopefully we can prevent most of that where I'm not billing by the hour.
What's the next one? Fixed boards on the electrical panels in the islands at the flagpole and the Boynton Court, those things. The one in Boynton Court's literally falling apart.
Yeah, I agree.
So here's what I'm proposing is parts and labor. I'll fix these with PVC pipes. I'll cap the 4x4s with a heavy schedule 40 pipe. I'll paint it and then put caps on those that you're capping the end of the pipe. And then from the bottom of the caps, I'll screw on a little rooftop to shed water off of those panels. Painted gray, the same color as the electronic panels. It'll cost $350 each for parts and labor to fix them properly. But that should be permanent. And I'm going to put a marine-grade birch plywood up instead of the plywood that's there now. They won't rot. So. Community garden in the green space. I cleaned the wooded area out behind Luray Court about 4 weeks ago. And when they mulch these trees up, they're going to give us the mulch. And I'm going to mulch that about 10 inches deep. And what I'd like to do, and we talked a little bit about this, is put up a little garden shed to start annuals in, just to keep the winter, the frost and stuff off of them. And that way we can buy seeds, not plants. We start them in that, go there once, twice a week and water them, they'll be fine. I do all this in my garden, in my garage for my garden. So as long as we have a place to keep the cold air off of them, they'll be fine. I want to do 4 raised beds, 2x12s, and basically we'll mulch them. And in the fall, what I want to do is buy trees, because that's when everybody's trees go on sale. So all these hardware stores will sell the trees for 50 to 75% off. And we can purchase them then, put them in the beds, mulch the balls, the root balls for the winter, and then we can start planting them in the spring. So we want to talk to the city arborist about telling us what to plant. And actually, city has another, I think it's the 25th, they're giving bare root trees away, and I don't know what the limit is, but if we get enough people in the city to show up, I'll put those bare root trees in some plastic tubs, and when we start growing those, there'll be red buds, pawpaws, things like that. So we're going to have to put some of these trees back that we took out.
No, yeah. Is that one tree per person?
Yeah, oh, no, there's like 4 or 5. Usually, if they're bare root, they'll give you 4 or 5.
Well, last year they gave 5 trees out because I remember getting 2 fruit trees. Well, I got 2 red buds because you have to get 2
fairly
big or whatever. And then pawpaws. They had 2 pawpaws and something else. But they gave us 5 last year.
We missed the big one. That was like the 9th.
Yeah, that was the April. That was the 3-year. Pot that they only gave.
So I mean, they took about this big.
Well, they did. They did last year at the same time. They did have. They did have the bigger ones too. But I think they divided them up this year.
So I don't know what this event. My wife sent me the information. I can go on the website and pull it out and send it to you. But I don't. I'm not sure it's not at the zoo like the last time that conservation area across the street.
I think you're right there.
I think these are bare roots. But my bare roots are doing great. I've got a red bud I've already planted on the green space up behind my house, and the others are in buckets at the house. They're fine.
Yeah.
So, but the problem with the bare root is it's only 1 foot tall. I'll have to mark them so I don't run them over.
Right.
That's not a problem. Hang a little flag or a tag on them, it'll be fine.
Right.
So, but anyway, the point is that there's a way to do this and not cost the city a ton of money. And in the end, have a city park, not an MSD drainage system, right? And so the other part of the raised beds is primarily kind of a take one, leave one type thing. I was talking about this out when you are in closed session. But if people have gladiolas, hostas, things they're taking out of their yard, they bring them over there and just throw them in a pile. I'll plant them. And we put them in those raised
beds.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Everybody's got them. I've got irises and phlox and all kinds of stuff that comes back every year. And if we can mulch a bunch of these areas and plant forsythias and hydrangeas and a place that look like a park in 3 years and in 2 years. And again, these plants don't require a lot.
Right.
You know, they come up every year.
Did anybody ever get the furniture paint or the tables painted for the graffiti?
No, that's the next thing, right? That's low on the list, but they're a mess. If it's up to me, and
we can get rid of the picnic tables. We can fix the picnic tables.
Yeah, I've contacted the company to repair that one. I've got to get the cross braces to repair it. So I've contacted the company, but the problem is, since I contacted them, somebody's painting them.
You're right.
So the problem, the real problem is they attract a bunch of riffraff. Nobody really uses them to picnic. You almost need to put them somewhere near a road where they can be seen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Adam Strothmore lives, he's got a chain link fence and he can see it from his deck, and he's like, it's just a bunch of kids smoking dope and drinking. That's, and that trash can when I empty it's full of beer cans. And
I know.
And
the contractor, our contractor makes occasional checks on it now, so. But that, again, they're only there 7 days a week.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be nice if we could do that. The last thing is fill dirt, and this is for back behind the ray. There's actually a couple places. There's a couple sinkholes that I put all the rocks and concrete that I drug off the green space last fall, and I filled the sinkholes up between Lunenburg and Rustburg. There's some big ones. And I've cleaned up that in the fall with my John Deere, my little tractor, and put all the leaves on it. So all that's mulched down now. It still needs dirt, right? But we can put dirt in there and seed it, and it'll be grass, not sinkholes. So, and there's an area behind, and this may be an MSD thing, there's an area behind Luray Court where the ground is settling and it's holding water now. They're about 12 foot round holding water. So, okay. So think about it. That's it.
The yellow stones, it looks great. The entrance looks better.
Yes, they're gone.
Thank you.
They're gone, but they are out. Okay.
They're in storage.
Well, that's okay. They're not at the front.
What I think I'll do with them is I'm going to try to use them. I can do two things with them. I can make a raised bed with them or in that area. Except for yellow and they're ugly. I think I'm just going to use them to level up a shed. We get a little garden shed. Because you got to put that on.
Don't be looking at the entrance at all.
No, they won't make it back to you. Not if I can help it. Anything else?
I also have one other little thing. Oh, sorry, Harold. So I have one other little thing. There was a resident back on Bay's End Court. His name is David Williams. He's contacted me twice about the little island back there. We went and looked at it.
Somebody backed over a bush.
Somebody backed over the shrub in that island, and it's halfway dead. He wanted to know if we can replace that shrub.
Take it out.
I mean, that's something else we just got. It's not on that list, but that one, and is it Ardwine's the other
thing? Ardwine, yeah.
If it's left up to me, I'd plant a tree right in the middle of both of those things and put some flowers around them and mulch them or rock them and call them done. Because they're more pain, they're more trouble than they're worth to mow.
Yeah, they're not very big
out. I know they aren't. Yeah, I know which ones you're talking about.
You can put a sweet bay magnolia in there or something that stays small, and put some, just like the island out front. You can put some.
There are those really old shrubs that get bad.
Oh, I know. Yeah. They get they're the evergreen, low lying.
Yes, they're really old, cheapo shrubs.
They take me all 10 minutes with a strap in my truck to pull them out.
But yeah, so that's all I have.
All right. Well, I would have to say, our budget busted for this year.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. We did get we've got all the trees down, right?
Trees are down.
Okay, trees are all down. They got to come back and do the stumps.
They've been instructed not to remove them until they get their equipment in there. Right. They're tearing up the ground.
Right. Okay. All right. So. These are what we can plan on for this next fiscal year, which starts July 1st, okay? So put your little list together, okay? And, you know, you work with Dawn here, and put your little list together and prioritize, and we'll bring it up. Budget is going to be talked about next month for sure, because we have to pass this thing before June 30th. Or we just continue what we got now. So,
can't do that.
And it, okay.
Can
Mr.
I say
Campbell?
More?
Yeah. Can you wait?
I know most all the time I come here, and that was a long time ago. What is this parking bit still on the street? I mean, can't somebody have them pulled off if you give them enough?
The problem with parking on the street is, again, like I talked earlier about, we don't have code enforcement board, okay? And if we give them a ticket, they have the right to appeal it. And if they don't have the appeal information on the ticket or the availability to appeal it, then we're in violation of the statute.
Well, then how many cars is allowed to park in front of the house? And, you know, they just keep backing their truck or whatever out.
You're talking about the neighbor that used to live
with. No.
You're talking about one of the houses that's close to your house. I know which one you're talking about. You're talking about the big bath truck that's real close to the speed bump.
Yeah.
I'm worried about it. This is one of the reasons why we're going to have the renter registration ordinance. I think that's a rental property.
No, I don't think so.
No.
He owns it.
He owns two of them.
Okay. Well, we'll deal with it. Okay.
They told me once. I don't know whether you was here or not. The street is wider than any other street, so they have the right to park on.
Who told you that?
Right here. But that was the other part.
Yeah, that's the other part.
Oh, three of us came down here and we.
Yeah, I know. Okay. All right. Let me put it this way, okay? We'll deal with it once we have a code enforcement board. All right? As it is right now, the only thing we can write our bus for is if they park the wrong way. Because Louisville Metro ordinance, if you find a vehicle that's parked the wrong direction, if it's facing you when you're coming up the street, okay, that's a violation, okay? So all we can do is basically right now enforce the statutes or enforce the ordinances that's on Louisville Metro. Once we get a code enforcement board in place, then we can have them start writing the tickets and make sure that the appeal's on there. Yes, ma'am.
Well, while we're buying signs, I think we need three more. There's three ways under our subdivision, one in off 22, I don't remember the street names, and one through where the gate used to be years ago, went in off Westport Road. We have a sign that says no parking anytime. To me, that means I can't park at that sign.
I can't
one like Cold Stream has that says no on street parking at any time or in the grass.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay.
I mean, that's three more signs, it would be a couple hundred bucks, and
maybe that
would help.
May I add those?
Is there any objection to her adding?
No objection at all.
It's not going to help.
No parking on the street.
They have to be coming off of 22. Instead of a no parking anytime means I can't park under the sign.
They don't see the sign anyhow when they come in because I've had that excuse too.
There's a parking in the grass.
All right, wait a minute.
They can't do that.
They aren't allowed to park in the grass at all, no matter where they're at.
Yeah, they have to put a rock base or a driveway in.
Now, if they have contacted the public safety and health commissioner and gotten a permit, they're allowed to park on the grass for an event, like a one-day event. Unless it's wet. They can't be parked on the grass if it's wet. Okay?
Unless they're grass.
And definitely there's no parking on the cul-de-sac. Is there any other stuff on new business?
Yeah.
You'll get it here in a second. Citizens participation, okay? All right, moving on to the commissioner report. Who wants to go first?
I will.
All right, Commissioner Eichenberger.
Okay, received update from Harold Hall of Maximus Lawn Care that the islands of Boynton Court, the flagpole, and the front entrance have been trimmed and cut back and all beds cleared of weeds and mold. Per Harold, we do have an issue with Boynton Court where we may require additional police patrols. As he said, when cleaning up the areas, there were several beer cans and condoms littering the beds. Also, someone has driven up on the curbing. Mr. Hall also advised, as of March 26, the city has signed a contract with Tree Care to remove dead and dangerous trees. They also agreed to include 24 stumps for the original price. per Mayor Sonum via a phone call. He approved to move forward with the tree care contract since I was out of town. Phone call.
Well, I approved it. The contract's with him. It's not with the city.
Yeah, okay. Tree removal officially started in the city on 4/8/19 in the green space. Per Mr. Hall, on 4/14/19, the tree contractor has all trees down that have been paid for. The yellow bricks at the front entrance have permanently been removed. Woo-hoo. Followed up with email regarding 4515 Mecklenburg Court. Steve, wait a minute. Let me go back and look and see if that's the one that...
Well, that's the one with the shed.
The fence. Okay, that's the one with the shed. Okay.
The fence is 13.
Huh?
The fence is 13.
4513.
Right.
Okay. Do I send that letter out, or...
We don't send letters out, do we?
We don't send letters out. The commission don't send letters out. Okay. And here again is...
Is that Steve that sends?
Well, my argument is the tree may have been in the city green space.
Yeah.
What happened over at your house there, Sharon? Where the neighbor's tree limb fell down on your garage? What did your insurance agent tell you?
Well, it didn't damage my garage, but... Her tree was not dead, so.
But their insurance company wouldn't pay for the damage.
They don't have to.
See. So I wanted to make that perfectly clear.
Okay.
We cleaned up our side of the fence.
Okay.
Yeah, insurance does not.
It doesn't mean that the homeowner whose tree fell on you.
What's that?
You have recourse to them.
The city paid to have my fence replaced in the tree.
Well, we didn't clean up the yard. We cleaned up what was in the tree fell off the green space.
Right. And cleaned that up.
Yeah. Right, right.
But if it's homeowner's property, they do not do that anymore. Used to years ago. But if your tree falls in my yard, the only thing your insurance is responsible for is cleaning up yours. My insurance is responsible for cleaning up mine. Okay, so I found that out.
Then why do you fall on your fence and break your fence?
It's still.
It's your insurance.
It's still my work.
So the tree that fell
on my side.
I
found that out.
Your tree is responsible for cleaning up our part of it.
Oh, okay.
But anything on their property is not our responsibility.
Even though the tree fell on his shed.
That's what she just said, yeah.
Okay. Sent email regarding low-hanging tree limbs at 4419 Bays End Court. Was that ever...
All you gotta do, I thought I sent that. We have, all you gotta do is have Harold go out there and cut it off at the curb. We don't need permission from the homeowner. It's over the city road.
Okay.
So Harold goes out there and just cuts it off where the curb is. I sent that to someone today, I thought of yesterday.
That was me.
Okay.
It all pays the same.
Okay. There you go. Okay. And then Queen Anne's Court. 11/9/16 Queen Anne's Court. That is, I think, trees too, right? Or no, that's the fence. Is that the fence?
Queen Anne's?
That's the lady.
That was a dead tree.
That was a dead tree, yeah. From the open space. Tore up her fence, right?
Yeah, destroyed her fence.
Yeah, destroyed her fence.
Still falls under the same thing.
And whose tree was it?
If it's dead, should have had enough sense to have it cut down. Mm-hmm. You're responsible for it.
If it's our tree and we damage someone's property, then we have to fix it.
We just had this conversation.
On the live tree?
Not a dead tree. It's a difference. If the tree is alive and it falls from my yard to her yard, I'm responsible for my yard. She's responsible for hers. Like if my tree is dead and it falls in her yard, I'm responsible for it all.
Because he should
have taken care of it. It's dead, shouldn't have taken care of.
Was it dead because of an ice storm? Is that the one you're talking about?
No, that was when the wind got that one. The live tree fell was the ice.
I don't care if it's dead or alive. If we have a tree, dead or alive, it falls on someone's property and it's damaged, I think the city should pay for it.
I can tell you a live tree fell across my fence and the city paid for the fence.
We'll be paying for it.
We'd be paying for all of it. It's up to the insurance companies to deal with it.
Exactly.
The insurance companies, they need to contact their insurance company. Period.
Yes.
The insurance company makes the decision. I don't feel like we have the tree there, okay? And here again, how dead was it?
It was an ash tree.
Okay.
It broke up about 10 feet high. It was dead.
I mean, it made
it's
or
only been dead for 4 years, Bob.
I don't know. I don't make that judgment call.
I only had mushrooms growing up.
But it was alive.
We
had mushrooms.
Yeah, we started. The thing was over.
So if I can interject just on that one, that's the one we looked at Queen Anne's when we were up there. I don't know the lady, but you're the one that told me she's 67 years old.
No, she's older than 67.
So she's got a real problem back there.
Well, I know she's got a real problem.
So I'm willing to go up there on my time and get the rest of that stuff out of her yard, and if I can get some assistance to get it cut and get it out of there. And I think that guy that's coming to clean up the trees would help assist us.
Well, let's see what you can do.
She's got a dangerous mess back there, and she's clearly not able to take care of it.
I know it. I think there's a son, but anyhow.
You know, speaking of dead trees, there's one down where our flagpole is in somebody's backyard that's going to knock out the electricity.
That is actually in Coldstream because I reported it. And yes, it's when you come down Halifax and you can see it, that tree is in, it's in Coldstream.
I don't know if there's anything to be done that could follow.
No, 311 was called and I talked to him because he was out there at the time. We came out to check it and he says that tree's in behind the house. It's on Coldstream. Hmm. And I don't know if I'm assuming he went over there and got the address inside of it, but here again, he said it was in Coldstream.
So we're going to wait until it, like, takes out the power?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then.
Anything else?
Cool.
Oh, we do need to discuss the thing about, before we get off the property maintenance, the weed control. What else was there?
The repair on the electrical panels and the water
panels. Are we ever going to be able to fit that in this? We need to do the weed control.
Yeah, that way. I mean, I think that saves us money.
Okay.
And then the electrical panels, the one on the flagpole, if it's set for another year, probably be fine. The one on Boynton needed to be fixed last year.
I know the Boynton one is really bad. And
so, I mean, let me ask you this. Could that not go on utilities? I don't know.
No.
I mean, it's electric. It's what's housing is electricity.
Well, the utilities amounts to, we're even having a problem with utilities going over there. Okay.
I was trying to
talk
about this.
There's not enough money left in the budget. There's no money for utilities.
No, there's enough to cover the bills, Linda. Okay?
I'm sorry you have to live in the dark, but we don't have enough money.
No, we have enough for the electric, okay? Thanks to the last administration not paying a bill, we got that.
I don't want to hear about the last administration.
Well, it's fine.
This administration.
All right, so I think we need the motion on getting the Boynton little
housing
and also the weed control. Because I know how I was past the flagpole today and it's looking pretty dandelioned up there. Okay. So do I
know
they're
prolific growers? Weed control and to fix the electrical box. I'm going to
thank you.
And the backflow.
The backflow. That was the number one thing on the list.
Okay.
Yes. I second that motion.
Okay. The backflow.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm not recommending we turn the irrigation on this year.
No, they just need to they just need to turn it on.
Yeah, but once you flush it, then it's on.
Yeah, I'd leave it on because if you decide to turn it on later, I can always set it to not run.
Can you set it to not run?
Just turn the days off.
Yeah.
All right.
But they'll charge you to come out and turn it back on. If we have to have
What my concern is if we turn it on, is that backflow test going to tell us if we've got leaks in the irrigation system?
No, they do all that automatically. They check it.
Okay. All right. Because I don't know why they turned it on last year. Anyhow. All right.
You had a water
one of the spigots was broken where they drove over.
Oh, is that where it was?
Yeah. So it was just pumping water all the time.
Okay. All right. So do I hear a second? Now that, is there any other discussion on this matter?
No.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner. So Commissioner Campbell, Commissioner Eichenberger, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All right. Unanimous.
So you got Dix Boynton.
Dix Boynton.
Call Evergreen.
Call Evergreen and get rid of the weeds.
No problem.
And go with the lowest bid.
I will.
All right. I need to sign this quote. Next, Commissioner Metcalf, since Commissioner Eichenberger started.
Grove City on multiple occasions received a call from a resident at 3609 Williamburg about a car facing the wrong direction, making it difficult to back out of the driveway. On 3/21/19, Mayor Stone and I attended a meeting in Middletown City Hall concerning insurance tax increase. Received an email from Commissioner Beville about a resident at 7/11/17, number 2, using a charcoal grill on a wooden patio. I worked in Hills Fire Marshal, Metro Louisville Fire Prevention. Talked to Tate Mason of Derby City Protection to do a door knock and talk to the resident and inform Attorney Steve Smart. Derby City Protection Action Report. 4 citations, 4 warnings, 11 traffic stops. Checked on teams at main entrance waiting for rides. This was during the Thunder over Louisville thing. Received a call of gunshots. We found an 18-year-old with a juvenile shooting a .22 pistol in the air, and the report said it was charged accordingly, and there were no injuries. That's it.
Okay. Thank you. Commissioner Beville?
I did live checks throughout the month and reported the light at 12106 Bay Run Drive was not working on 312. 317 and 324. The young lady told me that she would send someone out to check it. I held my tongue. You would have been very proud of me. I wanted to say I don't need anybody to check it. I have checked it. I know it's not working. I need somebody to fix it. But anyway, as far as I know, it's working now. The light fixture at 11923 Tazewell was dislodged during the high winds, and that was reported on 317. Now, I want to tell you all about this. The AAR Community Challenge Grant Program is part of an AARP. It's called Livable Community Initiative. And they have grants. So I have applied for a $25,000 grant to help cover the cost of purchasing and installing 10 streetlights on five of our city ports that don't have them.
Good for you.
That would be Queen Anne's, Heathville, Mecklenburg, Luray, and Boynton. I have received, I talked to Jim Pearson, with LG&E, and the LED, the new LED lights are going to be probably available at toward the end of May, 1st of June. I've got a preliminary, now this is just saying if we get the grant, and everybody just say your prayers that we get the grant, but anyway, that just covers, the grant would cover the preliminary cost is just the lights themselves, just the pole and the light fixture and all of that. That's $23,500
for 10 lights.
For 10 lights. But if we get a $25,000 grant, then I think we could find it in the budget to pay for the cost of having them installed. I'm hoping we would have it in the budget.
Can't we
when the new budget will add it into the new budget. And if you get added into the new budget, there might be enough money in the new budget too.
How much would it cost to install each one?
Beg pardon?
How much would it cost to install each one?
I don't know what the installation would be. I haven't gotten that cost, but I can't imagine that it would be another $23,000 to install them, or $25,000 to install them. You know, the big cost is the actual light themselves.
No.
Hey, pardon?
I said with LG&E, no.
LG&E wouldn't install them. We can get our own contractor to install them.
That was my first experience with applying for a grant, and it's a 20-page ordeal, but I got it done. So, but anyway, I'm just, we'll know. They'll let us know if we get it. So,
when did they say that? Did they give a date or a time frame? Or
they will. They asked me for a time frame of when the project would start, and I said July.
Okay.
I gave them a time frame of July, so we'll hear something before the physical year begins.
Okay.
Yeah, I deliberately did that.
All right, thank you.
That's my report.
Thank you, Commissioner Bedell. And Commissioner Campbell.
Yes. Harold and I drove the entire city and documented all signs found in the city of Worthington Hills. And then on the 2nd of April, I finalized the specific signs needed at this time. And then on the 3rd of April, I met with Andrew Kleber at the safety company, Safety Co., and presented the list of signs and their location. And on April 12th, I arranged for a representative of All Terrain Painting to be at our monthly meeting to answer questions concerning their quote for work to be done on the streets of the city of Worthington Hills. And I made two mail runs with Bev Lush, city clerk.
All right, did we want, from what I saw with the quote from All Terrain, okay?
Yes.
Do we want to act on getting, now here Dan is, all right? The road funds that we have is different than the general funds, and we had budgeted for some road work for this year in the road fund. So the money's already budgeted for it. It's not been touched. Okay, that's different than the signage is under the general fund. We can do the road maintenance anytime. Okay, because that is a separate issue, and we just, there is a budget for it this year. It can wait, okay? But my feelings are, if we get some nice warm days and we can get these cracks started being maintained and some of this required. We've got potholes. You got that one over there. And All Terrain is the one that fixed that pothole that was there 2 years ago, the big one that was in the center of the road down there from you.
Sally's got a bad one on it now too.
Yeah. So we need to take, my opinion is we need to take care of this. And I noticed that quote has a date on it. So I'd like to hear a motion to go ahead and move forward with getting the cracks filled and doing the pothole fixing and the different areas that we need to get fixed. So, you want to make a motion?
As road commissioner, can I make that motion?
Yes, you can make that motion.
I do. I really would like to get started and get those cracks filled. Yeah. The longer it we wait, they will start to crumble as we get the...
Well, you talked about the water getting down in the road.
Yes,
right.
And we really need to deal with that, those potholes.
Right.
And you mentioned that one on Pacelli. In fact, I will go around. D. Vick had said, if you'll just mark them with white paint, like, and make a list of the potholes specifically, because those problems need to be dealt with first.
Okay.
And I promise not to call the police. I promise not to call the early confession. I'll see you after.
All right.
Goodbye for a night. Okay.
Do I hear a motion? I had a motion from Commissioner Campbell. Do I hear a second?
I'll second that.
Commissioner DeVille, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? It's unanimous. Let Steve know and we'll get it going.
Okay.
All right. Now we can get back to sisters on this. Quisenberry, you have something?
I would like to see us fix a little packet that has the ordinances, garbage collections, and stuff like that. And when we find out that a new person moved into such and such house, that, and I wouldn't mind doing it, but that we would go introduce ourselves and give them this little packet that is necessary.
Yes, well, I think that's a wonderful idea.
That's right. Except this would just basically, it doesn't have to be a gift. It just has the ordinances and the parking and stuff like that. But a lot of neighbors never know.
Oh, yeah.
They move in, they never know when the garbage is picked up or anything else. And especially if it's a renter.
I know.
Miss Quisenberry, you could be our welcome lady.
I'll be. I don't mind doing that.
All right.
Have you put us together a list of what she thinks would be a good idea?
Yeah, that would probably be a good idea. Put it all together. You give us a request on what you would like. The ordinances, we're working on getting them all together, okay? But just having them know where the website is and stuff, yeah. Put a list together and then we'll...
And who the commissioners are and how to get a hold of them.
The website.
Okay. Is there anything else from the audience? Because we're up at 9:32. Do I hear... If there's nothing else, do I hear a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Thank you, Commissioner Agamon. I hear a second.
Second.
All right, thank you, Commissioner McCabe. Thank you all very much for showing up.